pause and give praise and honor to God for being good enough to allow us to be at this place at this time. When I look out at this convention, I see the face of America, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. We're all precious in God's sight, the real Rainbow Coalition. All of us who are here, think that we are seated, but we're really standing on someone's shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Rosa Parks. The mother of the Civil Rights Movement. Appreciation, the support my family has given me over these past months. They have endured pain, anxiety, threat, and fear. But they have been strengthened and made secure by our faith in God, in America, and in you. Your love has protected us and made us strong. To my wife, Jackie, the foundation of our family, to our five children whom you met tonight, my mother, Mrs. Helen Jackson, who is present tonight, and to our grandmother, Mrs. Matilda Burns, my brother Chuck and his family, to my mother-in-law, Mrs. Gertrude Brown, who just last month, at age 61, graduated from Hampton Institute, a marvelous achievement. I offer my appreciation to Mayor Andrew Young, who has provided such gracious hospitality to all of us this week, and a special salute to President Jimmy Carter. President Carter, restored honor to the White House after Watergate. He gave many of us a special opportunity to grow. For his kind words, for his unwavering commitment to peace in the world, and for the voters that came from his family, every member of his family, led by Billy and Amy, I offer my special thanks to the Carter family. And my privilege to stand here before you has been won in my lifetime by the blood and the sweat of the innocent. 24 years ago, the late Fannie Lou Hamer and Aaron Henry, who sits here tonight from Mississippi, were locked out onto the street in Atlantic City, the head of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. But tonight, a black and white delegation from Mississippi is headed by Ed Cole, a black man from Mississippi, 24 years later. Many were lost in the struggle for the right to vote. Jimmy Jackson, a young student, gave his life. Rather Louis Soule, a white mother from Detroit, called nigger lover and brains blown out at point-blank range. Sonya Goodman and Cheney, two Jews and a black, found the common grave, Buttersville, with bullets in Mississippi. The four darling little girls in the church in Birmingham, Alabama, they died that we might have a right to live. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., lies only a few miles from us tonight. Tonight he must feel good as he looks down upon us. We sit here together, a rainbow coalition, the sons and daughters of slave masters, and the sons and daughters of slaves sitting together around the common table to decide the direction of our party and our country. His heart would be full tonight as a testament to the struggles of those who have gone before, as a legacy for those who will come after, as a tribute to the endurance, the patience, the courage of our forefathers and mothers, as an assurance that their prayers are being answered, that their work has not been in vain, and the hope is eternal. Tomorrow night, my name will go in nomination for the presidency of the United States of America. We meet tonight at the crossroads, a point of decision. Shall we expand, be inclusive, find unity and power, or suffer division and impotence? We come to Atlanta, the cradle of the old South, the crucible of the new South. Tonight there is a sense of celebration because we are moved, fundamentally moved from racial battlegrounds by law to economic common ground, the moral challenge to move to higher ground, common ground. Think of Jerusalem, the intersection where many trails met, a small village that became the birthplace for three great religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Why was this village so blessed? Because it provided a crossroads where different people met, different cultures, different civilizations could meet and find common ground. When people come together, flowers always flourish. The air is rich with the aroma of a new spring. Take New York, the dynamic metropolis. What makes New York so special? It's the invitation at the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses who yearn to breathe free, not restricted to English only. Many people, many cultures, many languages, with one thing in common, they yearn to breathe free, common ground. Tonight in Atlanta, for the first time in this century, we convene in the South, a state where governors once stood in schoolhouse doors, where Julian Bond was denied his seat in the state legislature because of his conscientious objection to the Vietnam War, a city that through its five black universities has graduated more black students than any city in the world. Atlanta, now a modern intersection of the New South. Common ground. That's the challenge of our party tonight. Left wing, right wing, progress will not come through boundless liberalism, nor static conservatism, but at the critical mass of mutual survival, not at boundless liberalism, nor static conservatism, but at the critical mass of mutual survival, it takes two wings to fly. Whether you're a hawk or a dove, you're just a bird living in the same environment, in the same world. The Bible teaches that when lions and lambs lie down together, none will be afraid, and there will be peace in the valley. It sounds impossible. Lions eat lambs. Lambs sensitively flee from lions. Yet even lions and lambs find common ground. Why? Because neither lion nor lambs want the forest to catch on fire. Neither lions nor lambs want acid rain to fall. Neither lions nor lambs can survive nuclear war. If lions and lambs can find common ground, surely we can as well, as civilized people. time that we win is when we come together. In 1960, John Kennedy, the late John Kennedy, beat Richard Nixon by only 112,000 votes. Less than one vote per precinct. We won by the margin of our hope. He brought us together. He reached out. He had the courage to defy his advisors and inquire about Dr. King's jailing in Albany, Georgia. We won by the margin of our hope, inspired by courageous leadership. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson brought both wings together. The thesis, the antithesis, and the creative synthesis, and together we won. In 1976, Jimmy Carter unified us again, and we won. When we do not come together, we never win. In 1968, division and despair in July led to our defeat in November. In 1980, rancor in the spring and the summer led to Reagan in the fall. When we divide, we cannot win. We must find common ground as the basis for survival and development and change and growth. Today, when we debated, differed, deliberated, agreed to agree, agreed to disagree, when we had the good judgment to argue a case and then not step to struck, George Bush was just a little further away from the White House and a little closer to private life. Tonight, I salute Governor Michael Dukakis. He has run. He has run a well-managed and a dignified campaign. No matter how tired or how tried, he always resisted the temptation to stoop to demagoguery. I've watched a good mind fast at work, with steel nerves, guiding his campaign out of the crowded field without appeal to the worst in us. I've watched his perspective grow as his environment has expanded. I've seen his toughness and tenacity close up, knew his commitment to public service. Mike Dukakis' parents were a doctor and a teacher. My parents, a maid, a beautician, and a janitor. There's a great gap between Brookline, Massachusetts, and Haines Street, the Fieldcrest Village Housing Project in Greenville, South Carolina. He studied law. I studied theology. There are differences of religion, region, and race, differences in experiences and perspectives. But the genius of America is that out of the many, we become one. Providence has enabled our paths to intersect. His four parents came to America on immigrant ships. My four parents came to America on slave ships. But whatever the original ships, we're in the same boat tonight. Night, if we have a false sense of independence, or they could collide and crash, we would lose our passengers. We can seek a higher reality and a greater good. Apart, we can drift on the broken pieces of Reaganomics, satisfy our baser instincts, and exploit the fears of our people. at our highest, we can call upon noble instincts and navigate this vessel to safety. The greater good is the common good. As Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. It was his way of saying there's a higher good beyond personal comfort or position. The good of our nation is at stake. Its commitment to working men and women, to the poor and the vulnerable, to the many in the world, with so many guided missiles, and so much misguided leadership, the stakes are exceedingly high. Our choice, full participation in a democratic government, or more abandonment and neglect. And so this night, we choose not a false sense of independence, not our capacity to survive and endure. Tonight we choose interdependency and our capacity to act and unite for the greater good. Common good is found in commitment to new priorities, to expansion and inclusion. A commitment to expanded participation in the Democratic Party at every level. A commitment to a shared national campaign strategy and involvement at every level. A commitment to new priorities that ensure that hope will be kept alive. A common ground commitment for a legislative agenda for empowerment. For the John Conyers bill, universal, on-site, same-day registration everywhere. A commitment to D.C. statehood and empowerment. D.C. deserves statehood. A commitment to economic set-aside. A commitment to the Dellum bill for a comprehensive sanction against South Africa. A shared commitment to a common direction. Common ground. Easier said than done, where do you find common ground at the point of challenge? This campaign has shown that politics need not be marketed by politicians, packaged by pollsters and pundits. Politics can be a moral arena where people come together to find common ground. We find common ground at the plant gate that closes on workers without notice. We find common ground at the farm auction where a good farmer loses his or her land to bad loans or diminishing markets. Common ground at the schoolyard where teachers cannot get adequate pay and students cannot get a scholarship and can't make a loan. Common ground at the hospital admitting room where somebody tonight is dying because they cannot afford to go upstairs to a bed that's empty, waiting for someone with insurance to get sick. We are a better nation than that. We must do better. Common ground. What is leadership if not present help in a time of crisis? So I met you at the point of challenge in J. Maine, where paper workers were striking for fair wages. In Greenville, Iowa, where family farmers struggled for a fair price. In Cleveland, Ohio, where working women seek comparable work. In McFarland, California, where the children of Hispanic farm workers may be dying from poison land, dying in clusters with cancer. In AIDS hospice in Houston, Texas, where the sick support one another, 12 are rejected by their own parents and friends. Common ground. America's not a blanket woven from one thread, one color, one cloth. When I was a child growing up in Greenville, South Carolina, and grandmama could not afford a blanket, she didn't complain and we did not freeze. It says she took pieces of old cloth, patches, wool, silk, gabardine, croquet sack, only patches, barely good enough to wipe off your shoes with. But they didn't stay that way very long. The straight of hands and a strong cord, she sewed them together into a quilt, a thing of beauty and power and culture. Now, Democrats, we must build such a quilt. Farmers, you seek fair prices, and you are right, but you cannot stand alone. Your patch is not big enough. Workers, you fight for fair wages, you are right, but your patch labor is not big enough. Women, you seek comparable worth and pay equity, you are right, but your patch is not big enough. Women, mothers, who seek Head Start, and daycare, and prenatal care on the front side of life, rather than jail care and welfare on the back side of life, you're right, but your patch is not big enough. Students, you seek scholarships, you're right, but your patch is not big enough. Blacks and Hispanics, when we fight for civil rights, we are right, but our patch is not big enough. Gays and lesbians, when you fight against discrimination and a cure for AIDS, you are right, but your patch is not big enough. Conservatives and progressives, when you fight for what you believe, right wing, left wing, halt, dog, you are right from your point of view, but your point of view is not enough. But don't despair. Be as wise as my grandmama. Pull the patches and the pieces together, bound by a common thread. When we form a great quilt of unity and common ground, we'll have the power to bring about health care and housing and jobs and education and hope to our nation. Where the people can win. Of reaction. We stand tonight united in the commitment to a new direction. For almost 8 years, we've been led by those who view social good coming from private interests, who viewed public life as a means to increase private wealth. They have been prepared to sacrifice the common good of the many to satisfy the private interests and the wealth of a few. We believe in a government that's a tool of our democracy in service to the public, not an instrument of the aristocracy in search of private wealth. We believe in government with the consent of the governed, all for and by the people. We must now emerge into a new day with a new direction. Reaganomics, based on the belief that the rich had too much money, too little money, and the poor had too much. That's classic Reaganomics. It believed that the poor had too much money and the rich had too little money. So they engaged in reverse Robin Hood. Took from the poor, gave the rich, paid for by the middle class. We cannot stand 4 more years of Reaganomics in any version, in any disguise.